Jamunatiravanachari. Jamunatiravanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Paribraja Gacharya Stotara Sita Shri Shimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananda Kori Vaishnavina Ki Jai Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Gaura. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Thank you. Very nice. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela. Is it text 38? It's about 30 verses or something, right? To 60, 38 to 60 something, 3. Prema veshe patte tu me. We do this together because there's so many verses. Me veshe patte tu me habe achetan. E sabasam agrito marake kare rakshan. When along the way you fall unconscious in ecstatic love of Godhead, who will protect your belongings, the water pot, garments, and so forth? Krishna dasa name e sharala brahman ino sange kori laha dhara nivedhan. Sri Nityananda Prabhu continued, here is a simple brahmana named Krishna Das. Please accept him and take him with you. That is my request. This Krishna Das, known as Kala Krishna Das, is not the Kala Krishna Das mentioned in the 11th chapter of Adi Leela. The Kala Krishna Das mentioned in the 11th chapter is one of the 12 Gopals, or the cowherd boys, who appeared to substantiate the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is known as a great devotee of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. The Brahmin named Kala Krishna Das, who went with Sri Chaitanya to South India and later to Bengal, is mentioned in Madhya Leela, 10th chapter. One should not take these two to be the same person. Jalapatra Vashtravahitoma Sange Yabe. He will carry your water pot and garments. You may do whatever you like. He will not say a word. Accepting the request of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya took all his devotees and went to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Namaskare Sarvabhauma Asana Nivila. Sabakare mile tabe asane vasila. As soon as they entered his house, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offered the Lord obeisances and a place to sit. After seating all the others, the Bhattacharya took his seat. Nana Krishna Vartako hi koila tahare. Tomara agya nabagi bare. after they had discussed various topics about Lord Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I have come to your place just to receive your order.
Sanyasa kori visvarupa gyache dikshane andasya kariba ami tara anvashane.
My elder brother, Vishwarup, has taken sannyas and gone to the south, gone to South India. Now I must go and search for him.
Agyadeya avasya ami dakshine chaliba tomara agyate suke leti asiba.
Please permit me to go, for I must tour South India. With your permission, I shall soon return very happily.
Shuni sarvabhauma hoile atyanta katar charane darya kohe vishara udhar.
Upon hearing this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became very agitated. Catching hold of the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave his sorrowful reply.
Bahu janamera punya pale painu tamara sangha hena sangha viri mora kari leka bhanga.
After many births due to some pious activity, I got your association. Now providence is breaking this invaluable association.
Shire Raja Pare Yadi Putra Mariyaya Tasahe Tomara Vicheda Sahanayaya.
If a thunderbolt falls on my head, or if my son dies, I can tolerate it, but I cannot endure the unhappiness of separation from you.
Ishvara tumi karibe gaman dina kato rahadiki tomara charan.
My dear Lord, you are the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Certainly, you will depart. I know that. Still, I ask you to stay for a few days more so that I can see your lotus feet.
Tara vinaye prabhur sitila hoilaman rahila divasha kato nakali gaman.
Upon hearing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's request, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relented. He stayed a few days longer and he did not depart.
Bhattacharya agraha kori kare na nimantran grihe paka kori prabhu ke kara na bhojan.
The Bhattacharya eagerly invited Lord Chaitanya to his home and fed him very nicely.
Tahara brahmani tarat nam satira mata randi bhikshad ninak deho ascharya tarakata.
The Bhattacharya's wife, whose name was Sati Mata, the mother of Sati, did the cooking. The narrations of these pastimes are very wonderful.
Agita kahi betaha kariya vishtar, eve kahi prabhura dakshina yatra samachar.
Later I shall tell about this in elaborate detail, but at the present I wish to describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's South Indian tour.
Na pancha rahi prabhu Bhattacharya stane.
After staying 5 days at the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally asked his permission to depart for South India.
Prabhu agrahe Bhattacharya sammata haila prabhu tare la jagannatha mandira gila.
After receiving the Bhattacharya's permission, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Lord Jagannath in the temple, took the Bhattacharya with him.
Darshan kori takura pasha agya magila ujari prabhura mala prasara anadila.
Seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also begged his permission. The priest then immediately delivered prasad in a garland to Lord Chaitanya.
Agya mala panasha namaskara kori anande dakshina deshe chale gaura hari.
Thus receiving Lord Jagannath's permission in the form of a garland, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances, and then in great jubilation, he prepared to depart for South India.
Bhattacharya sanghe yara yatani jagan jagannatha pradakshina kori kori la gaman.
Accompanied by his personal associates and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu circumambulated the altar of Jagannath. The Lord then departed on his South Indian tour.
Samudra tire tire ala nata apote Sarvabhauma kahilena acharya gopinate.
While the Lord was going along the path to Alalanath, which was located on the seashore, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gave the following orders to Gopinath Acharya.
Chari kopina barishvasha rakityache gari taha prasadana laya aisha vipradware.
Bring the 4 sets of loincloths and outer garments I keep at home. Also some prasadam of Lord Jagannath. You may carry these things with the help of some brahmana.
Tabe sharva omako he prabhu racharane avashyava libe prabhu mora nivedhane.
While Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was departing, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya submitted the following at his lotus feet. My Lord, I have one final request I hope you will kindly fulfill.
Ramananda roya chaye govadari tire adikare haina teo vidyanagare.
In the town of Vidyanagar, on the bank of the Godavari, there is a responsible government officer named Ramananda Roy. In the Amrita Prabhabhasya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that Vidyanagar today is known as Porbandar. There is another Porbandar in western India in the province of Gujarat.
Shudra Vishayi Gyane Upeksha Na Karibe Amara Bachane Tare Avasha Milibe.
Please do not neglect him, thinking he belongs to a Shudra family engaged in material activities. It is my request that you meet him without fail. Purport. In the Varnashram Dharma, the Shudra is the fourth division of social status.
Paricharyatmakam karma shudrashat bashvabhavajam.
Shudras are meant to engage in the service of the three higher classes, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. Sri Ramananda Roy belonged to the Karna class, which is the equivalent of the Kayasta class in Bengal. This class is regarded all over India as Shudra. It is said that Bengali Kayastas were originally engaged as servants of Brahmanas who came from North India to Bengal. Later, the clerical class became the Kayastas in Bengal. Now there are many mixed classes known as Kayasta. Sometimes it is said in Bengal, those who cannot claim any particular class belong to the Kayasta class. Although these Kayastas or Karanas are considered Shudras, they are very intelligent and highly educated. Most of them are professionals, lawyers, or politicians. Thus, in Bengal, the Kayastas are sometimes considered Kshatriyas. It's funny, even in Bengal, the Shudras are highly educated professionals, like lawyers. Thus, in Bengal, the Kayastas are sometimes considered Kshatriyas. In Orissa, however, Kayasta class, which includes the Karanas, is considered in the Shudra category. Sri Ramananda Roy belonged to this Karna class, therefore he was considered a Shudra. He was also the governor of South India. Who can understand these personalities? Sri Ramananda Roy belonged to this Karna class, therefore he was considered a Shudra. He was also the governor of South India under the regime of Maharaj Prataparudra of Orissa. In other words, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya informed Lord Chaitanya that Ramananda Roy, although belonging to a Shudra class, was a highly responsible government officer. As far as spiritual advancement is concerned, materialists, politicians, and Shudras are generally disqualified. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya therefore requested that Lord Chaitanya not neglect Ramananda Roy, who was highly advanced and spiritually, although he was born a Shudra materialist. It's all to teach, because you can't understand from looking at something what it is. Some people used to think Bhaktivinoda Thakur wasn't who he was because he didn't have neck beads or because he didn't keep a shika. It's interesting. Ramananda Roy was highly advanced spiritually, although he was born a Shudra and a materialist. A Vishayi is one who is attached to family life and is interested only in wife, children, and worldly sense gratification. The senses can be engaged either in worldly enjoyment or in the service of the Lord. Those who are not engaged in the service of the Lord are interested only in material sense gratification and are called Vishayi. Sri Ramananda Roy was engaged in government service, belonged to the Karna class. He was certainly not a sannyasi in saffron cloth, yet he was in the transcendental position of Paramahamsa householder. Before becoming Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disciple, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya considered Ramananda Roy an ordinary Vishayi because he was a householder engaged in government service. However, when Bhattacharya was actually enlightened in Vaishnava philosophy, he could understand the exalted transcendental position of Sri Ramananda Roy. Therefore, he referred to him as Adhikari. An Adhikari is one who knows the transcendental science of Krishna and is engaged in his service. Therefore, all Grihastha devotees are designated as Das Adhikari. Na Namasheshtamanamapi Sachiputra Matrasarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Ghostavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram Maho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Jasya Pratitikripaya Shri Guru Tanganatosmi He Sri Guru Gyanada Dinabando Swananda Datta Karunika Sindhu Brindavana Sina Hitavatara Prasida Radha Pranaya Prachara He Dinabando Karunika Sindhu Guru Prashadam Mahimandamure Lakshavaradhe Tatiaparadhe Hey Lakshavaradhe Bhupavagadhe Tatpada Padanestu Mutista Krishne. I'd have to read it. It's long. The Namashrestham one's pretty easy. Namashrestham Manamapi Sachiputra. The Guru, he's the one who's given us Sachiputra, the son of Sachi. Sachiputram. Better? He's given us Govardhan, he's given us Radhakun, he's given us the name. That's what that is. Bhakti Siddhanta, I just read that. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati used to chant that verse almost when he gave a class, almost before and after almost every class. We got it from Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. Raghunath Das Goswami wrote it. I was on Sankirtan yesterday, and somebody came to me that worked in the mall, and they'd seen me there thousands of times, and they said, why do you do this? She came up, they have stores in the middle of the mall, and I give them all books and stuff, and they all see me. She said, how's the yoga business going? That was her first thing. And I said, it's going pretty good today. I mean, you couldn't even park in that place. It was so busy. It was great. And the police were so busy, they couldn't find me. So I stayed in that mall for 3.5 hours and distributed 150 books. It was really, really ecstatic. But when she came up and said, how's the yoga business going? I said, it's great. And then her friend came over. And they were from Israel. And he said, why do you do this? We see you out here all the time, you know. And I said, I'm on a mission for my Guru Maharaj. And I was... You know, I just told him, I said, you have to take shelter of a superior authority, and then when you do that, then you have to give him something in return. And I said, I promised that I would do this, so that's why I do it. And I was reading last night in CC some pretty far out stuff about what Prabhupada says about this missionary activity. Lord Chaitanya said, distribute this Krishna consciousness all over the world and let people eat these fruits and ultimately become freed from old age and death. Prabhupada says in the purport, those who are servants of Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, must seriously distribute this movement all over the world to render the greatest human benefit to human society. Of course, animals and other lower creatures are not capable of understanding the movement, but even if a small number of humans take it seriously, by their chanting loudly, all living entities, even trees, animals, and lower species, will benefit. The next verse says, if the fruits are distributed all over the world, my reputation as a pious man will be known everywhere, and thus all people will glorify my name with great pleasure. And Prabhupada says, this prediction of Lord Chaitanya's is now actually coming to pass. The Krishna consciousness movement is being distributed all over the world through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is being spread all over the world, and people who were leading confused, chaotic lives are now feeling transcendental happiness. Sound familiar? People that were leading confused, chaotic lives, because of this, are now feeling transcendental happiness. They are finding peace in Sankirtan, and they are now acknowledging the supreme benefit of this movement. This is the blessing of Lord Chaitanya. When Prabhupada installed the deities in 75 in Melbourne, big brass Gornitai deities, you can watch it on KrishnaTube, it's really nice. After they installed the deities, Prabhupada said, so you are very fortunate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to your country. He has come here to teach you how to become freed from all anxieties. And he looks around and he says, everyone is in anxiety. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is to take away all your anxieties. And he says, because of the age has fallen, then the process has been made easier. Simply chant the holy name of the Lord and follow. If you follow the path chalked out by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you will be happy and you will give up all material anxiety. Of course, the next verse is Bharat Bhumite Hoila Manusya Janma Yar Janma Shar Takakori Kara Para Upakar. One who has taken birth as human being in the land of India should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. Prabhupada says, at present, for want of God consciousness, the entire world is in darkness, and having been covered by the sinful principles of meat-eating, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, there is need for vigorous propaganda. So that's the answer. Why do we do this? Because there's need for vigorous propaganda, because the whole world is in darkness. And then Prabhupada says, the practical effect of our spreading the movement is that now the most degraded debauchees are becoming elevated saints. Go figure. I hear the most degraded debauchees, that's me. And somehow or other, Prabhupada's saving us. And Prabhupada says, this is the only one Indian's humble attempt of service. And Prabhupada goes on to say, if all the Indians would have taken this up, then India would have been unique to give this gift to the world, and thus India would be glorified. This is only one Indian's humble service. And Prabhupada says, it is not only the duty of the Indians, but everyone. And we are very happy that the American and European boys and girls are seriously cooperating with this movement. One should know definitely, the best welfare activity for all human society is to awaken man's God consciousness. And the next verse is, it is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. Now, it was interesting to me, those kids, when they asked me, I say kids, they're probably 25. When they asked me why I do this, I was thinking, these guys have had the books. For a couple of years, I've been giving them books. They got Higher Taste. They got Chant and Be Happy. They got Perfection of Yoga. Some of them have hardbound books. And apparently, they never cracked a page. They never read a word because, you know, they're like, what's going on? And they know the cover is yoga, so they're, how's the business? How's the yoga business going? But I'm thinking, these guys never, you know, you give them these books, and they're eating the lollipop, and, you know, they got the book. They even give donations. But it's a rare soul who gets to actually get into this, you know, take another look at it. And I had an experience out in the parking lot, because you run out of books and you got to walk out to the parking lot, and it's about a mile to where you can actually park. And I'm walking out there, and I always see people on the way, and I have a few books left. So anyway, I gave this guy a book, and him and his girlfriend, I just gave him the book. He gave $2, and, you know, that was it. And his girlfriend came out of the mall and started screaming and yelling at him. And they were in this fight, back and forth, about something, about some money, about some Christmas gift, you know, something. And he finally goes, that's it, I'm walking. I'm not getting back in that car with you. The guy starts walking that way, and she goes, I don't care, I'm going back in the mall. And she walked back toward the mall. And the next time I went to get books, and I walked by, the kid's sitting in the car reading Perfection of Yoga. And I was thinking, you know, this guy's so fried. He's like, now what's this? Maybe this will help. And I walked by that guy a couple times. He was reading that book, which really makes my day, because I've given out a million books. But I never see the people again. It was usually in airports or somewhere. And, you know, you give them the book, and that's the end of it. But to see that kid reading that book, and I was thinking, maybe he'll be listening, you know, because he's stressed out. You know, that's what we always say to people. You've heard of stress, right? These books are about, I always say, these books are inner peace. That's what I say. Here's a book on inner peace. And even Christians lately, you know, they go, well, I read the Bible. I go, yeah, I do too. But these books are nice too. And so I get them to take it. And I say, give it to your friend who doesn't read the Bible. You know anybody who doesn't read the Bible? And they go, oh, yeah. I go, well, just share this with those. There's plenty of those. But when I'm out there in the field doing this, and I've been doing this for almost 4 decades, I get a lot of interaction with just the people that I meet and I talk to just for 2 or 3 minutes. And yesterday, this guy was from 400 kilometers south of Oslo in Norway. And he was telling me how it was 25 below, and he was so glad to be in Orlando, even though it was 52 degrees yesterday and there was a 30-mile-an-hour wind. He said, it's so much better than in Norway. And he said, I gave him a lollipop, you know, and he said, I'm looking for my wife. She's out here in the store somewhere. I said, well, here, give her one, too. And then I gave him a chant and be happy. And told him about the book and the mantra. I always give him that and say, this has the interview with the Beatles. It's a history book from the 60s. Talks about inner peace and mantra meditation, etc. And so he took the book and he said, how much is it? And I said, well, you just give a donation. I said, people just give $10 or $20, whatever they have left after the shopping. I say, after Santa Claus. And he said, oh, and he reaches in his pocket and he says, I got $6. And he gives me $6. I said, that's fine. And 15 minutes later, that guy came back to me and gave me another donation. He said, this book is worth more than $6. I have to give you more. And some lady, I was talking to some lady while we were doing that, and the guy just walks up and goes, excuse me, but this book is worth so much more than $6. And he gave me 10 or whatever it was. And the lady saw that, and so she gave me a 10. And she said, what's the book? Right? And I had run out of Chant and Be Happy, so I gave her a higher taste instead. I said, it's a vegetarian cookbook. But anyway, these are the pastimes of book distribution. This is what goes on. It's interaction between the jivas. And I'm just another one of them who happened to get lucky and get Prabhupada's mercy. And I felt that it was so... He saved my life so much when I was young that... because when I was 15 or whatever, and I was listening to George Harrison, and I was listening to the Beatles, and, you know, All You Need Is Love, and then chanting the names of the Lord, and you'll be free, and all these... You know, all these hints of spiritual, which I didn't know anything about, but I was always attracted to it. And I just thought, you know, there's something to this. And then when I met the devotees and they gave me posters of Krishna and they gave me incense and they gave me sweet balls and they gave me books, I was already inclined to it because I had heard some. Now, these poor kids these days are listening to, I mean, it's pretty hard to find anything spiritual in the modern music. I have teenage kids and I hear what they listen to. And I feel so sorry for them. Because, I mean, at least it seemed to me that I was being, you know, guided somehow. It seemed like everywhere you turn. My dad took us to see the play Hair. I think I was 14. And Hare Krishna was in the play. And it seemed like everywhere we went, you know, if the Beatles were into it, you know, Hair, you know, and so many things. It seems to me that today, even though there is sort of a tendency for yoga and even vegetarian, stuff like that, people are pretty much just absorbed in sense gratification as usual. And it seems even a little harder than it used to be, at least personally, for me going out on all these Christmas. Because usually when Christmas comes, something hits people and they get all sentimental and they want a charity and they want to be nice and friendly. And this year it hasn't seemed that sweet, that soft. Now, I have met a lot of nice people and distributed a lot of books. In fact, this month I've doubled my score. I usually do 600 books a month. I've done over 1,200 this month, and it was mostly because of good sponsorship. My dear friend Govardhan, who I've never even met in the person, I've only talked to him on the phone, he sends me books every month. He's a Prabhupada disciple from 71, I think, and after 71, he said he disappeared. And anyway, so he's got this, yeah, and he's got this thing that he wants to, he's building a Rath Yatra cart, that's his thing, but he wants to distribute books, and he said he keeps the receipts from BBT that he sends these books to me. And I mean, it's hundreds of dollars, you know. He sends 3-4 cases at a time. I mean, he's really into it. And he said he keeps the receipts on him, and he hopes that when the Yavadutas take them, they'll see those receipts. He said this. I mean, I just thought it was, what a mood, what a far-out mood. Because I call him every time. I'm like, usually twice a month, I call him and go, hey, Govardhan, everything okay? And he's like, yeah, everything's fine. What, do you need more books? And I said, no, I just want, you said you'd send me a picture of the cart you're building, and I didn't see it yet, so he's going to email me the picture of his cart. But his mood is that he feels that he's so fallen that he wants to help Prabhupada's book distribution so he can get that mercy. So it's a nice mood. But anyway, when people give me books, well, guess what? I distribute them. I go out and I give out more books. I mean, yesterday I was giving people books even when they just said no. Because after a while, because there's a lot of people collecting and a lot of people doing fundraising during this time of the year. And people are so burnt out on being asked for money. And you walk up to them and they go, no, whatever it is, no. Please, no. No, no, no. I already gave. And it's true. A lot of people, they get it in the mail. They get it on the phone. People approach them. And I'm going, no, no, no. It's not like that. We're not asking it for anything. I give them a lollipop. And I say, Merry Christmas. We're giving out these smile pops. And we're asking everybody to smile because the world needs it. And for some reason, they all smile and they go, you're right. And they kind of stop. And you need that pause because you only have a couple of seconds. And one of the hardest things about selling anything to anybody is to stop them and try to get their attention, look them in the eye. So that's what I was doing yesterday. And a lot of people go, no, no, no. I go, no, 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 it's yoga. And I give them the book. Just hand them the book. Whatever happens. I figure, whatever. If they take it, fine. If they, and a lot of people just took them. Oh, and they stopped. And they said, well, we thought you were just, and I said, no, no, no. It's a benefit to help people. And I said, if everybody, like we read in Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, right? Swasyasya visvasya. Kalaprasidatam jayantu bhutani shivam mitodiya manascha badram bhajatara hoksaje. It means, his prayer is, may the universe, may the whole universe be happy, and may all envious persons be pacified, and may all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. So that's the mood, is that, just like I was reading those verses from the Madhya, how the mood is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to take away your anxiety. So when I tell somebody, these books talk about inner peace, you've heard of stress, right? And they all go, yeah. And I go, well, these books tell you, they teach you how to get peaceful from within, from yourself. It's already there. We just, and it's true. That's what we've learned. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. That's what Prabhupada tells us. And so that's what we do. And I found this really interesting thing. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was ordered by Bhakti Vinod to preach. And he he was a little discouraged. And he lamented, to whom will I show my books and articles? Who will take pleasure in my writings? Who will encourage me to continue? Who will take pleasure in hearing about the preaching work and the increasing of the splendor of the Holy Dham in our service? Practically foregoing all food and sleep, he remained engaged in intense bhajan while wrestling with a dilemma. In his heart, it reverberated with Bhaktivinoda Thakur's order that he not renounce the service to Mahaprabhu, and seeing that the mass of people were spoiling their valuable human life, simply taking birth and then dying without any information or interest in the incomparable boons offered by Lord Chaitanya, Sri Siddhanta Saraswati was unceasingly contemplating the need to preach. Yet, having experienced the kind of malicious opposition he would have to face for speaking that truth, he was reluctant to return to public life. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. A little reluctant because of just the negativity, the nature of the I don't want it. I don't want it. Who needs it? Who's interested in this? Well, having the experience, he had that experience, so he was a little bit, he didn't really, you know. So, thinking in that mood, one day, a gust of wind blew before him an extract from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he picks it up, and Lord Chaitanya instructs Lord Sanatan Goswami to compose transcendental literature and renovate all the forgotten holy places, institute service to Krishna, and propagate bhakti ras. Out of the wind, Lord Chaitanya sends him the shlok, right? So he says, oh, taking this as divine indication, feeling depressed and incapable, Siddhanta Saraswati pondered, I have no public support, nor wealth, nor learning, or the intelligence required to awaken interest in the populace. How can I convey to the inhospitable world the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and establish Manobhishta of my gurus? Shortly after that, one night at Yoga Pit, he has a vision. This is the vision here. It's a picture of Panchatattva, Bhakti Vinod, Gaurakishore Das Babaji. In his vision, this dreamlike revelation, he saw approaching him from the east, Panchatattva, six Goswamis, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, numerous other great devotees of Lord Chaitanya, and they said, O Saraswati, why are you worrying? Begin the task of establishing Sudha Bhakti. Distribute Gauravani universally. Expand service to Gauranam, Gauradham, and Gaurakam. Gauranam, transcendental name, Gauradham, abode, and Gaurakam, the desire of Gaura. With unbreached enthusiasm, broadcast Bhakti Siddhanta. We are eternally with you. You can imagine that you're out in the airport or out in the mall or something. They're chasing you out and the cops are coming. And here comes Panchatattva and, you know, all the Sampradayas there. And they say, the support of unlimited people, immeasurable opulences are there. We will always help you. The boundless scholarship awaits the blessing to serve your mission. All will manifest whenever required. Come forward with full strength and distribute the message of Mahaprabhu's Prema Dharma throughout the globe. No worldly hindrance or menace will be able to obstruct this undertaking. We are forever with you. So, I mean, this is the conviction that Vaishnava preachers have all the way down even to an insignificant rat like me, because I have the vendor's bag of Hari, is what Bhaktisiddhanta calls it. When you go out with the vendor's bag of Hari, don't be distracted by the mundane, and don't judge anyone, and be low like the straw in the street and humble like the tree. And in this mood, you can actually help the other jivas. And it doesn't take much, because we got the books. No matter how I am, if I get the book into your hand, then it's up to you. You can open it, or you can give it to a friend, or whatever you're going to do with it. But as soon as you get that, you touch it, just like it says in the Gita Mahatmya, that if you chant a verse of the Gita, you get this benefit. If you chant a half a verse, a quarter of a verse, even one syllable of a verse. And Prabhupada took it so far, he said that if you just touch the book, then you get immediate benefit. You get unlimited punya just from touching a book. So if I walk up to you and say, Merry Christmas, and give you the perfection of yoga, if that's all that happens, you still just got the best benefit you've had for a million births. So when you think like that, and if you hear enough, if I listen to enough Prabhupada on the way down to Sankirtan, then I'll have that in my mind. So, because there is a lot of opposition out there, I meet a lot of militant born-again Christians and people like that. Usually I can get rid of them. I give them little Christian tracts. And they say, yoga? Ugh, I'm a Christian. And I take the book back and put it in my bag, and I give them a little tract with Tebow on it. And it says, you know, Jai Jesus. That usually shuts them up. But there's all kind of elements like that when you're out there, putting yourself out there in the mall. And it's, you don't always remember that Prabhupada and Gaurini Thai and Bhaktisiddhanta and the whole Parampara is out there with you. But if you do, then you can actually do this. The only thing that can stop us is our own aparads. And I have personal experience of this, because I've had so many aparads that I've committed that I've really felt the effects. And when I go out on Sankirtan, when I'm not offensive and when I'm in spiritual consciousness, it's a whole different story. Now, I still do go out when I'm in Maya and when I'm suffering and struggling because I'm thinking I'm this body. And people still get the mercy. They still get the books because I give it to them and the prasad. But it's a lot better if you do it spiritually. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to tell his disciples, if you don't chant 64 rounds, the Lord will not accept your offerings, even water. And many of the disciples, pujaris and others, because the conflict was, Bhaktisiddhanta kept them very busy. They were always busy doing so many services, and they'd say, Maharaj, I can't chant 64 rounds because I'm busy doing this. Well, Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada says, see, he kept all the Mathvasis very busy in multifarious services, stating that, and this is his quote, seva and mala are non-different. I've said that before when people have criticized me because they noticed, you're not chanting 16 rounds or whatever, and I'm going, well, I'm going on a Sankirtan. That's the same. He says here, seva and mala are non-different. A sincere attitude of service is the essence of chanting, and without cultivating that sincere essence, even the chanting all day and all night is of little value. And it's something to think about. I mean, quality over quantity. During the day, remain busy in service. Now, you might not be able to chant a lakh during the day, but the lakh should be your lakya, or your aim. If sometimes you're too busy to chant on your mala, then instead of taking rest at night, you should chant. Prabhupada said that too. He said, you never miss eating or sleeping, but you always miss chanting. So if you cannot finish your rounds of your prescribed japa, then simply sleep less. Don't increase your time for sleeping. Increase your time for chanting. Kirtaniya sada hari. always chant the holy name. Wake up with the holy name, go on chanting throughout the day, and go to sleep with the holy name. If you practice this, naturally, you will also chant while sleeping. Won't even accept water. You imagine that? If you don't finish your rounds, the Lord won't accept your offerings. Like, wow, that changes everything. It's what Prabhupada said, sincere and serious. You have to be serious and you have to be sincere to make progress. And if you're serious, then you'll be sincere. When a disciple told him, we don't have time to chant one lakh, Saraswati Thakur retorted, it's not the chanting that is taking time from your service or the service that is taking time from your chanting, but it is idle talks, devouring time meant for both. So stop the prajalpa and you will find time to chant a lakh. No doubt you are doing considerable service, yet simultaneously so much prajalpa is going on. Stop wasting time. Now, check this out. I got this from Vaisheshika Prabhu. Your tongue is your rudder. And we know from Rupa Goswami and Upadeshamrita that, you know, Vacho Vegam, Manasakrota Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Pastapa. You have to control the tongue. And we get spiritual benefit from chanting. Sound is a very powerful thing. Sound vibration is what everything comes from. We get spiritual advancement, we get enlightenment from chanting spiritual things. But from listening to and from chanting mundane sound, we get another result. So, one must control the urge to speak, and all the other senses will follow. When one speaks with a motive to injure or to undermine others, or when one speaks whimsically, gossiping, one's seed-like words take root, and they grow into poisonous trees with deadly fruits. Now check that out. Imagine having I got an orchard of these things. Poisonous trees with deadly fruits, just from the Gramya Katha and the Prajalpa that we all engage in, most of us, I do. So Vaishi writes here, A, to counteract these anomalies, Krishna has given the suggestion, austerity for your words. They should be truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and regularly recite the Vedic literature. So think before you speak. I like this. If the words you're about to say don't fit into one of these categories, don't let them out. And it's your responsibility to do this, because it's so easy to just, you know, you think, oh, this is funny, this is clever, this is a joke. And the next thing you know, you got these poisonous trees with deadly fruits. Who wants that, right? I mean, I want a mango orchard or avocados or something. I don't want deadly fruits and poisonous trees, but this is what we create with our nonsense prajalpa. And not only that, if we didn't do all the prajalpa, we'd have time to chant our lakh, and then the Lord would accept our offerings. I mean, it's all, you know, there's a reason for everything. And these things, I tend to take it so lightly. I mean, in the old days, you know, you see a devotee, you pay obeisances, Jai Prabhu, accept my obeisances, glorious Prabhu. You know, it's a little bit different these days, and it's sad because we should be making progress. You think, after all this time of chanting and hearing and looking at the deities and serving the Lord and doing whatever it is we do as our seva, you think that something would get through to this dirty heart of ours. The Chaito Dharpana Marjan, the dirty mirror is useless. If you have a mirror, it might be a beautiful mirror, very expensive mirror. But if it's covered with dust, you can't see anything. So you have to constantly hear and chant. It's from somewhere. It's a good one, though, isn't it? It just stuck in my mind. When I heard that, I'm thinking, I don't want to create any poisonous trees with deadly fruits. That's a bad thing. That might not help me or anybody else. So I just, and I thanked him for it. I said, thanks for that. And, you know, he told me where he got it, but it doesn't matter where he got it. Is if we can take something and use this to help us advance in spiritual life, this is the point. As long as we're on the subject of Vaisheshika Prabhu, their marathon, they had this thing, they made a vow to distribute 16,108 hardbound Gitas this month, which they smashed that. They've got about over 20,000 hardbounds distributed, and they've collected over 56 large Lakshmi points. And they still got a few days to go, so they'll probably hit, they'll do over 60, which is huge. They started in this little storefront in San Jose 10 years ago, and now they've got a beautiful temple. It's amazing what happens when you get plugged in. Purity is the force. And Vaish is plugged into Prabhupada's lotus feet. And so just like Bhaktisiddhanta was told by Panchatattva and Bhakti Vinod and the whole Parampara and the six Goswamis, don't worry, everything will come, whatever is needed will come, all opulences will come. And it's all because of the sincere endeavor of the devotee. Just like Prabhupada said, one Indian's humble attempt, and he saved the whole planet. And now we have some other devotees that are so absorbed in Prabhupada's lotus feet that that's what they're doing too. And we see the results. Krishna's given the mercy to the devotees to go out and save the planet. Just like here, the parades, the prasadam distribution, this beautiful temple, everything that's going on here, our festivals and our Sunday program, this is all Prabhupada's mercy to engage jivas, to get them off of the platform of body and hopefully get them onto spiritual life. And if devotees take it up themselves, each one of us, to try to help Prabhupada distribute this in whatever way we can, that's our success, and it will also help everybody else. And Prabhupada said, if you just do this one thing of preaching this Krishna consciousness movement, then you will be blessed by my Guru Maharaj million times over. And I want that. I want to be blessed a million times over by Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta. And so that's why we do it. And I'm really thankful for all my sponsors and all the devotees that have encouraged me. It says in Bhagavatam in the third canto that with the association of devotees, the hearing and the chanting are very effective to the heart. And that's what we do. That's why we come together. That's why we have temples and sanghas, so we can get together and hear and chant together. And it actually says in that verse, Devahuti's talking to her son, and she says, I'm in bodily concept. Please help me. And he preaches to her about this. And the whole idea is to hear and chant constantly, and it's better and more effective in association. So that's what we try to do. Hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, and then do some seva to try to please the spiritual master. I could go on, but are there any questions or any comments or anything anybody might like to add? Otherwise, I will go on. There's some nectar here that I'd like to share. Nothing? Oh, Haribo, Prabhu. Yes, G. Please.
I read places that you just mentioned if you control the tongue, then you control all the other senses. Can you hear me?
Yes.
And then other places I hear that if you control the mind, you control all the other senses. So can we safely say that the mind resides in the tongue?
Well, I wouldn't have come to that. But I chant the Upanishamrita every day because I want to remember Vachovegamana, so all that stuff, because it's self-imposed regulations. Bhaktisiddhanta said, remember that no one can harm you unless you harm yourself. And that's what everybody's doing in this world, is harming themselves. Why? Because of misidentification, because we act like we're our bodies. And we become just, you know, you shouldn't let your tongue or your mind do things, you know, that aren't nice, that aren't positive, that are negative, and that are creepy. And we do it all the time. I hear it, I see it, I experience it all the time. But what I like to, like it says here, in the association of devotees, discussion of the pastimes of the Lord are pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and therefore he's freed. His attraction becomes fixed. And this last sentence, then real devotion and service begin. So when I read that, I was like, wow, I haven't even begun real devotion or service yet. It seems like I'm doing a lot of service, but there's quality. I said that earlier. There's quantity and quality. No, it is nice. I'd rather go out and distribute books in total maya than not go out and distribute books. But to distribute books, just like that quote that some people are good sadhakas, they have nice behavior, but they don't preach. And some people preach, but they don't have nice behavior. Now, you're supposed to have nice behavior and preach. Prabhupada says in the purport, the first point is that one must seek the association of persons who are engaged in devotional service. That's what he's given us. All over the place, there's temples Prabhupada gave us so we could come together and we don't have to do it alone. I will do it alone if I have to, but I would much rather do it with my godbrothers. Without such association, one cannot make advancement, period. Simply by theoretical knowledge or by studying, one cannot make any appreciable advancement. So how important is satsanga? How important is it to come together? I take it for granted because I come here every day and I come to the temple and I associate with devotees who are all doing the same thing. But Prabhupada says that you can't make any advancement, no appreciable advancement, unless you do this. Thus, constantly engaged in service in the association of devotees, a person gains distaste for sense gratification, both in this world and the next, by constantly thinking about the activities of the Lord. This process of Krishna consciousness is the easiest process of mystic power. When one actually is situated on the path of devotional service, then he is able to control the mind. So it's all these things. Prabhupada set this thing up for us so because he knew that we're going to need a lot of help. And with a lot of hearing and chanting, you'll have a chance to control the mind. And with good association, and without the prajalpa and the gramyakata and all the backbiting and stabbing and fault-finding, it's much more conducive to spiritual life. The devotional service most suitable for each different type of devotee is determined by the mercy of the spiritual master. So it's all got to do with surrender to Prabhupada, associate with devotees, and get engaged in some service. But if you don't hear and chant, it's really hard to do anything right. You can do things like I said. Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling and attractive, hearing the very pleasing words, the devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements. He becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, I like that. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without any separate endeavor. So these are the, and this one here, I love this. Because he is completely absorbed in thought of me, my devotee doesn't desire even the highest benediction obtainable, either in the upper systems, including Satyaloka, and he doesn't desire the eight material perfections from mystic yoga, nor does he desire to be elevated to the kingdom of God. Yet without desiring him, the devotee enjoys, even in this life, all the offered benedictions. It's like, if you follow Prabhupada, and you hear and chant with devotees, and you engage in some service, then you get this. Thus, the devotee who worships me in unflinching devotional service, that's the thing, unflinching devotional service. Whoa, that's something to strive for. He gives up all his aspirations to be promoted to heavenly planets or to become happy in this world with wealth, children, cattle, and the rest. I take him to the other side of birth and death. That's the Lord telling you that if you just do this, he's going to take you to the other side of birth and death, even if you're unwilling to go, which I am most of the time. So, I'm not giving up. I'm a work in progress, and I'm engaging in this thing, and I'm going to die trying to do this. So thanks for all your association, Prabhu. I really need it. Hare Bol.